At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, you. Anyway, hi. Welcome to the You Podcast here on Potion Recaps. My name is Marissa Garza, and you may be asking yourself, hey, why is Marissa starting this podcast off? Well, that is because our good friend LaTanya could not make it today. But have no fear. Have no fear. Adam is here. Please welcome Adam H. to the podcast. Adam, how are you?
I am doing so good, Marissa. I have just finished setting all of my rich friends' houses on fire and am just back right in time. It'll be fine, I think, right? It's totally fine.
Yeah, that's how this works.
That's exactly how this goes.
That's how this works. That's what this show is teaching me.
That's the message, I think, right? Like the message of this is eat the rich. And, you know, however that is. Yeah, you know, it's a... We'll get there. It's fine.
Okay. Well, before we get there, if you are looking for our coverage on past, present, or future podcasts of the show You on Netflix, please do check out our very own feed at potionrecaps.com/you podcast. I don't really know what shows up if it's just like /you, probably nothing, but that would be fun. But you really want to make sure you put in You Podcast at the end of that. That'll bring you to our very own feed. You can catch all of our coverage of part one as we prepare if you're looking to catch up for part two, which drops on March 9th, which is, I cannot believe, next week. So if you're looking to catch up, there's a good place to start. Otherwise, we'll be starting up our part two coverage next week with a premiere pod and then jumping into spoilers, kind of the same thing, doing some feedback and then wrapping it up at the end of the month. So, Adam.
Yes.
We have not gotten to talk about this.
We have not.
This here television show. What have been your, what is your, like, what's your You story? What's your You origin story? And then what did you think of part one so far?
Okay, so You has like been one of those shows where I have really loved for a long time now, but I don't really know how to say that without being like, oh yeah, I really love this show. And it's like so hard to recommend this to anybody because then they'll like watch the first couple episodes and be like, Adam, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? But it's really fun. I think that this show is like uniquely different in how it tells the story of a like a bad person, like how it tells the story of a villain, because like we get so many villain shows and movies nowadays, right? Like that's not a unique category of media anymore. Maybe it used to be, but like certainly in today's day and age it's not. But I think that, you know, something that you and LT have been doing on this podcast brilliantly, by the way, is talking about the social commentary of it all. And I think like to me that is always what has elevated this show. You know, I think it's been really interesting. I think Joe, Jonathan, JJ, whatever, is like a fascinating main character. And like to hear him try his hardest to justify and explain like what's going on in the world around him, being that ridiculously unreliable narrator, is like has been really, really fun and really, really cool. And then season four, in particular, yes. I think I have heard a lot of thoughts and feedback from folks, not only in our circles, but also like, you know, around the internet. I've done my, you know, fair share of sleuthing and searching for whatever out there.
Have you been stalking on the internet?
I've been doing a little bit of
stalking, not of people.
No. Well, whenever I see a negative review, I spend hours and hours and hours. Exactly. Yeah. But I've seen some negative thoughts, and I don't think people have been as high on this season as previous seasons, to say the least, up to the point where people are downright angry and upset and frustrated about the first part of the season. And you know what, Marissa?
Yeah, tell me.
How many times have I gone onto a podcast and just ripped the thing to shreds? I feel like that's part of my MO these days. And I don't love doing it, but you know what? Sometimes it has to happen. Well, not today. Oh. That is not what's happening here.
Tell
because
me.
I have to tell you, I actually enjoyed the first part of season four and am very intrigued to see how they finish it out. I'll agree with the general sentiment that I could do without the weird month break between sets of five episodes. Okay, whatever. We have to put that aside because, like, what? I don't think that was their original intent or decision. Right. So it's whatever. I can't blame the show for that part of it. That being said, I am over the binge model. I'm done with binging.
Wow.
I'm fully out.
You heard it here maybe first? Maybe.
I don't know.
You run a lot of podcasts. I don't know if you said it anywhere else.
I have no idea. But I am done with the binging, Marissa. I cannot do it.
Tell me why.
I cannot keep up with it. Okay. Admittedly, I have like a lot going on. Whatever. This is not a brag. The stuff I have going on is so stupid and unimportant, but there's a lot of it. Regardless.
The calendar is built.
Yeah. Busy. My imaginary calendar is completely filled. Okay. I just don't have time to sit there and watch like 7 hours of television at a time. Like, there's no way I could ever do that or get away with it. That being said, when I first started watching you, it was at the beginning of season two when they released that, and my cousin brought it to my attention, and we binged all of season one and season two in one day. So, you know, take that for what you will. The show is very bingeable for sure. But I don't know. I'm done with binging, and I much would have rather have this season come out like two episodes a week. Give me like two episodes a week for a long time. It wouldn't really be that long. It'd be like, what, a month and a half? Whatever. Give me like two episodes a week for 5 weeks and I'm good to go. I don't need a weird month-long break in between sets of five episodes.
How would that change your viewing experience? Because,
yeah,
like, did you binge this first part
of it? I didn't. See, that's like,
what did you do? How did you explain to people how to watch a binge show without binging?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So first and foremost, they don't even really let you binge because they're only giving you half the season of the start, right? Like, they're not even letting you. I think I watched one episode a day for the first three and then the final two over the course of like the next 2 days or something, 3 days, something like that. I don't know. It was like over the course of a week. Mainly because I knew that I wasn't going to get any more for another month. And I was like really trying to, you know, parse it out. It'll be like my one episode, you know, as I'm going to bed or whatever. It really wasn't because you can't really watch this show.
You can't.
Too close to bed. But I spaced it out a little bit. I definitely didn't binge it all at one time because I don't know. I'm just done. I'm done with the binging. So kudos to that kind of a little bit. I don't know. I think it did help the experience, though, because I could, like, sit there for, like, you know, hours, right? Like, it was throughout the whole next day. I'd be thinking about, because the show, like, really gets in your head. I'd be, like, thinking about, like, what I had just seen. And I do think that for this season in particular, it helped more than it probably would have for previous seasons because, man, this cast is big.
There's so many people.
It is fully decked out. There are like a dozen people you have to remember. And I'm famously terrible at names. I never remember names, especially when they're names that are not even real names. Like, I just can't do it. And so it like took me a long time to like get, you know, on board with that. And so I liked that much better. I will certainly be doing the same for part two.
Did you have like your Charlie Day like gift situation where you were connecting dots to everybody?
It was close. Okay. Just like, okay. And then let's talk about the content.
Yeah, we'll get there. I'll get there.
I would have though, had they not like given me quote unquote, you know, given me the answer to like the whodunit at the beginning of the first part. I was so upset that they told me who this show was going to say did it at the end of the first part. Now, whatever, there's going to be a twist. There's always a twist with this show. We shouldn't like take them at face value. It's fine. I still gave us too much though. I was still like not happy that like I could not. But, okay, if you're going to have a big break in the middle of a season and it's a whodunit, let us figure out who did it in the break. What are we doing here? I don't know. It makes no sense.
Podcast.
Yeah. Well, how do we have like six podcasts about this and we can't even like figure out who did it because they told us? This is, don't they understand the plight of the podcast, Marissa? I don't think they do.
I don't think they get it. Which is like really hard because Penn has his own podcast. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
He should know. Penn, you know, like my friend. But yeah, like they should know. Well, okay. Well, thanks for sharing your feedback. I have one piece of feedback from the Discord that I want to share, but and then I promise we will get into the content. So our good friend Felipe has shared, with a few days distance, I think my biggest gripe with season 4A is that besides the Joe, Jonathan, Jacob, Jingleheimer, Schmidt of it all, I really don't care about or like any of the characters. Phoebe has charm, and I know I'm supposed to care about Kate and Adam. Who's played by Lucas Gage, but I just don't. Even if we're not supposed to like Peach, 40, or Sherry, they all had these layers that were so strongly realized pretty quickly by the actors and writers that they became so fun to watch. The season doesn't have to be, or the season didn't have the fun of the other seasons, and I don't know if it's intentional because London has a vibe.
London.
But I was not super invested. Also, we barely see Nadia, and we can't really root for JJ's apprentice like we did with Paco, Delilah, and Ellie. I always assumed Henry was the Paco or Ellie of season 3, though. Yeah, so that's, I think, Felipe sees, like, the general is giving voice to the general sentiment towards season 1A. Yeah, I don't know if the vibe... I've never been to London, so yeah. I don't know what the vibe of London has to... I think the content of it is a little bit different, but hopefully the fun comes in part 2. That's what I'm hoping for.
I feel like it probably has to. I do think there are like some of the characters that Felipe is talking about not really liking or resonating with that I do like and resonate with, though. So like I think that might just be maybe a difference in opinion or thought there versus maybe something the show was like trying to get us to feel or think maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like the Peach 40 Sherry of it all, like 100%, we were not supposed to like those characters really. I certainly didn't. And I feel like Roald has definitely been Roald has been fitting that, you know, kind of archetype pretty well. I don't know. And then people don't like Kate as much as they liked any of the previous women. That's been like, I think the biggest thing that I've seen so far is that people are just not on board with Kate as much as they were with anyone. Beck, Love, Marianne, even Candace, which is, you know, crazy or whatever. But like people do not like Kate.
There's some suspicion around Kate. Like I don't think we have clear clarity. And I think that's like part of everyone in this cast is like, we don't have a clear picture of their character. I think that's done intentionally because it is a mystery whodunit. Everyone's going to have like some shadow of doubt put upon them. You know, like one of the things that always sticks out with me with Kate is like, hey, Joe, don't look through my window. P.S. by the way, I'm going to leave my window open.
Yes.
You know, so there's something going on there. But yeah. It is interesting to see how this season so far has been received, and I'm interested to see how people receive it after the whole thing is there.
Yeah, and the other thing I'm thinking about is if we had to break down seasons 1, 2, and 3 after episode 5, which is not something that we had to do at that point, I'm like thinking, do people really like Beck all that much? No. I don't know.
I was watching it because LaTanya got me into the show, and I was watching it, and I messaged her, and I was like, I can't with this girl.
This would have been a while ago when I was watching season 1 for the first time, but like I certainly did not love Beck that first time. We also certainly didn't know what we knew at the end of the season about Love, right? So we talk about like not knowing the characters fully. I think that's been present almost every other season, and I would dare to say even with the Marianne stuff, like maybe we didn't really know her fully because I don't even think she was a huge part of the season until the end of the season.
Nadia.
Yeah, well, hopefully like Nadia, right? Well, yeah, hopefully like Nadia. So I'm just, you know, I understand the criticism of the first half of the season, but I think that maybe it's a little misplaced in that I think people are more upset about the format than they actually are about what the content will end up being.
Blame Netflix. Don't
I will. Yeah, I will. Without question. Very easy for me to do that. Yeah, not even hard.
Well, now that we know about everyone's thoughts on part 1, let's get into some predictions about part two. So I made a list of cast members. We can just like go through the cast and kind of make some predictions on what we hope to see from them. And then at the end of that, we will do a death draft, Adam.
I'm so excited
to see if we can death. Build our best death team. So starting at the top, with a character that you may not remember here, but her name is Blessing, and she is the Nigerian princess who like walks around and is part of the group. I don't foresee her having a stronger position in the plot going forward. Do you have any strong takes on Blessing?
My prediction, and maybe this is just me being hopeful, is that we literally do not see her again. I think that that would be the most ideal scenario, because I just do not think she added anything in the first part of this season.
Yeah, she was, I think she's there to like be an archetype of like the rich.
Yeah.
But
we have
enough of people. Yeah,
plenty. Exactly. Truly plenty.
Speaking of which, we have Sophie. Yeah. Who Sophie was Simon, or is Simon's sister. I don't know. For Sophie, I think she got over Simon's death like way too soon for me. That is a question I have looking at her going into part two. I don't have any big predictions for her other than like maybe she'll finally realize that her brother was killed.
I mean, probably, right? I would assume that at some point she'll realize that. I think it's very likely that she'll be dead before that even happens. I think a lot of people are going to die in part two. I think it's going to be a bloodbath.
Everyone, the rich will be eaten.
I mean, they've been getting eaten left and right the whole season. No, I don't have anything crazy for Sophie. Again, I don't know that she added a ton to the first part of the season. Yeah. I think that like there could have been more there. That being said, like the fact that she didn't really care about her brother's not really care, but you know, whatever.
We didn't see her care.
We didn't really see her care. Really made that death less significant for me. Cause like, I don't know. Like I get that that's supposed to be the point of like, okay, she's not super emotionally invested in using this as an opportunity to like benefit. Mm-hmm. But that also makes me not really care about the death in general. So I don't know.
Yeah. The artist, you know, died his tragic death and everybody kind of just moved on. I think the point for that one was more pointing to Nadia's rules of like the first suspect is always the second victim.
Oh yeah.
And then everyone was like, oh yeah, okay, moving on.
Yeah, it was a quick move on from everybody. It was very, very, very quick.
Yeah, moving forward. Okay, so now we have Rold. Which, you know, as I stated on the last podcast, is a real name, and I'm really sorry to all the Rolds. I just cannot with the Rold.
it's so over the top. Like Rold is so over the top in all of the ways that like it only makes sense that his name is Rold. And of course, like the only thing I can think of is Rold Gold Pretzels, like the whole time.
Ooh, it's
like
yeah, it. Yeah.
So I don't know about Rold. I feel like there's more here than meets the eye about Rold. I don't know that he's like actually fully suspicious. But I think a lot of the stuff that kind of like actually creeped me out this season, because there have been things in previous season that have been like really slimy and whatever, gross. The Rold and Kate stuff has like really given me the heebie-jeebies. Like I just, it's so creepy and weird. I do not like it at all.
Like that scene when he comes in and is like, we're going swimming. I was like, no, I don't like this.
You could not pay me to go swimming with Rold. That's all. That's a nightmare.
What about hunting? No.
Oh my. Well, okay. I don't think I'm going hunting with anybody, but
I know.
Rold is certainly on the bottom of the non-existent list. He just like straight up is like, oh, gonna kill you now. Yeah. let me just point this gun at the back of your head.
Yeah.
Do you think like Rold is about, is there like a, I don't know if we're saving predictions here, but it's
go ahead.
Do you think I've seen a lot of stuff that's like Rold is actually a killer in some capacity here and has been doing some stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about who's actually a killer. So I think Rold is up there on the list. I mean, his tendency for revenge, like, you know, one of the things that Nadia said about the rules, it's always like what, sex, revenge, or money. And so he's definitely, you know, carrying team revenge in this discussion because of the whole situation with Kate. So I wouldn't be surprised. And he like practically was going to kill Joe JJ. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually was a killer. Also, he's got like a lot of weird distance at least from what I picked up in the group, like he's there, but no one really likes it. Like he kind of seems like an outsider of sorts. Not saying that all killers are outsiders, but he just something's off.
Closest to well, I shouldn't say closest, but he felt very close to Gemma. It seemed like they kind of bonded more. And now that she's gone, I don't know exactly like where, because even I'm even like going back to that big dinner scene when they're kind of talking amongst each other and Rold was like really pushing Kate to tell JJ of like, he doesn't know. I don't do a British accent. he doesn't know about like the, you know, the wealth and whatever. He was like pushing it and making it very awkward and uncomfortable. And obviously, you know, he's trying to drive that wedge between Kate and JJ, of course, but like, he's also just a jerk. And so that's not unique to him out of the rest of the characters here for sure, but it still is true. And so I don't know. I don't think that Rold is I don't think there's going to be a twist that's like, oh, it was actually Rold all along and no like big, you know, whatever there. He's a jerk. He's terrible.
I think he's there to get us. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out he has killed in his past, but I don't know if he is like the killer. Like, he has killer tendencies.
He gives vibes. Well, probably because he literally did it. He gives vibes of someone who haunts people. And like, that's like literally the vibes. Granted, he did. He literally was about to hunt a person, but he, you know, he gives
Well, and he
vibes.
Called it like peasant hunting. Yeah. So he was really ready to go on that one.
Not great.
So he has his own motivations for sure. We're not lacking for motive with him, at least. Speaking of jerks, let's talk about not you, Adam, but the other Adam. The Adam on the show is the jerk in question here. Mr. I have money from my parents, but I'm also in a lot of debt. I'm creating a lot of clubs. I'm dating Lady Phoebe. What are your thoughts on Adam in the show?
It is always tough for me to see Adams in media. There are not like a ton of them. Like there's more than you would think because it comes up more often than I would like it to. But like, gosh, I always want to like Adams in media, right? Like I always want to. I'm like, you know, hey, that's my name, you know, namesake.
Do us proud.
Let's,
do us
you know,
proud.
Do something good. And then it doesn't take long for there to be something that's not great. There are elements to this character that I actually do enjoy more than a lot of the other ones. I would certainly put him in the top half of the characters this season. Well, you know, obviously we'll get into this in a second, but I love the relationship between him and Phoebe. I think that like those two are probably my favorite two of all of the kind of rich friend group there. And I think they definitely stand above and beyond. I think there's also something interesting might be the wrong word, but I'm gonna use it. There might be something interesting about this idea that like he's still trying to make it, like he's still trying to like have a good idea or work or like make something of it. And you know, simultaneously, there's something to be said for like being given all the opportunities in the world and still not making it, right? Like that, there's still something interesting there. But like, I liked the tenacity that he was showing. And I think like even other people in the group chastised him for it, right? Of like, why are you trying to work? Like, what is this? Don't you realize that like you don't have to do this at all? And so I really do like that mentality from him because I think it's just non-existent in anyone else. And so that's the part of it I like. Maybe the parts that didn't work for me when other people were, you know, peeing on him, that like didn't. That maybe didn't work for me a ton. Whenever he like didn't ever, you know, stand up to Gemma in any way whatsoever, like that didn't work for me a ton. And then I think that he was just weird at that dinner as well. I keep like going back to that dinner scene. Just because like I think that was one of the only places where we really got to see everyone's personality kind of come through with each other, as opposed to, you know, all the other times where it seemed very frenetic and just kind of not concise. So I don't know. He wouldn't be someone that I'd want to hang out with very much. But in terms of like predictions for the second part of this season, I think he's going to be pretty heavily involved. I think that we've seen like a lot of him thus far. I think that he and Phoebe are intrinsically linked. I think that in terms of the friend group's relationship with JJ, he's also pretty close to the top of the list in terms of like people that don't actively hate him or want to kill him. And so, you know, like that's great for him, I suppose. But, you know, other than that, I think, you know, I don't think we're going to get any major revelations about him either. I don't think that he's going to secretly be a killer mastermind or involved with anything like that. But I do like the way they're telling his story. And I have hope, I have faith, that he is going to continue to help this story be told in part two.
Yeah, I see Adam as like the representation of new money trying to make it in like an old money environment, and like the clashes that come from that could actually push Adam to help JJ throughout the rest of the story. Yes. They have the American connection, but you know, JJ has like no money, even though he has everybody's money. Like, he doesn't know what to do with money. Like, this is not a world he's lived in where he is in charge of the money that he stole from Love.
Yeah.
So I do see a potential alliance between the two of them in the second season, or at least a deal, you know.
Some kind of alliance, even if it is like a little shaky.
Yeah. It's like for one tribal council, they will help each other.
Voting blocks. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So you had mentioned that Adam is dating Lady Phoebe. Lady Phoebe, I think, is like the quintessential rich British girl. I don't think she has like a malicious bone in her body. She's just there living her best life, and she wants everyone else to be living their best life. In terms of the people around her, I don't see her as a very, you know, like philanthropic person. Like, I don't think she's like caring outside of her circle, but within her circle she's very caring of the people around her, and she wants to make sure that everyone's having a good time. And she has like, you know, a really great personality. She seems to have the most personality out of everyone within the group. So yeah, what's your take on Lady Phoebe?
Yeah, I think that she is probably my favorite of the whole group. For like, I think a lot of reasons, and they more so told us about some of them than we actually got to see, which was unfortunate, but like, it was always said, you know, oh, Phoebe wanted to invite you to this. Like, Phoebe was the one kind of reaching out. She was never mean to JJ. Not that, I guess, like, whatever, he's evil too, but you know, she was like never a jerk like the other one. She wasn't like flaunting her money or anything like that. Like, she lives a very rich, posh lifestyle, whatever they all do. That is like not a unique thing to just her in this cast. But I liked how opening and welcoming she was. There was a couple scenes that stood out to me. When they were playing croquet and Phoebe and Kate were kind of together being like, oh my God, Gemma is like the worst. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She didn't really do anything about it, but you know, it's a social situation. What are you gonna actually do there? It's so hard to like do that to your friends. But I like Phoebe a lot. And then I also thought that not reveal, but like whenever, you know, Joe is being led around the mansion, I'm just like, oh, is it time for us to meet up? And then he walks in, and then there's Phoebe there, like totally ready to pounce all over him. And oh my gosh, I just love it so much. And even when Phoebe comes in the final or second to last, whatever last episode, and there's the body in the room, and she's like in there, and she's like just sitting on the cabinet or whatever. And he's like, okay, we gotta go. I love Phoebe. Like, I think she's really fun. I think she has a really kind of light, bubbly personality. I do think that there is a little bit more to Phoebe, though. I think that I like Phoebe too much. That there is some kind of involvement there. I don't know exactly what that is, but there. I don't know. I feel like Phoebe is a little suspicious.
She's a little sus. Yeah, I mean, I guess if I could see anything with her being suspicious, it might be like people that she knows, or like there's something in the background, like some sort of gossip, some sort of blackmail type situation that could happen. Mm-hmm. And it might be with Kate, like, because Kate basically went up to her and was like, hey, I know you see a dead body right now, but we have to come back to the party.
Yeah, like, we've got to go.
This is what happened, but we got to go back. And she played along. She played the part, but I don't really know the relationship between the two of them to know if that's like a solid deal or not. Yes. And she's also like really attached. Do you have any ideas on what JJ said to her that one night? Because she kept saying like, oh my gosh, the words that you said are just like sticking with me, or can't, like, she mentioned that a couple of times. It's kind of like lost in translation. Like, I don't know if we'll ever know like what was said, but JJ made such a big impact on her that he could use that to his advantage in a pinch if he needed to.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think so. I think that she is probably the greatest ally that JJ had throughout all five of the episodes for kind of the exact reason that you're saying, and we didn't get to see it. I do think that we're going to see it in part two. I certainly think that that's going to be one of the flashbacks that we see, probably when they're showing the full events of how everyone was actually like murdered and stuff like that. I don't know. I still think there's more than meets the eye here. And I think that like her being the one to continuously invite him to things, it doesn't seem like Joe would have really been a part of the group had Phoebe not like made a significant effort, especially right at the beginning when Malcolm's gone. Kate doesn't like him whatsoever. Rold basically wants to murder him on the spot. And all Adam cares about is the $70,000 egg. You know what I mean? Like, no one else was really concerned with him being there. And Phoebe was. So, you know, good for her, I guess. Or bad if Joe is killing everyone. I don't know.
Would you go to a party at Lady Phoebe's house?
Do all of the other rich people have to be there? Here's the thing, Marissa.
Tell me.
While I myself do not, like, make a ton of money or live a ridiculously lavish lifestyle, I want to. I love, give me a nice charcuterie board. Like, I will take all of the bougie things without question. And I don't know, you're going to give those to me, then I'll be there.
Well, how could you turn down, like, staying in that, like, Downton Abbey-esque place, yes, and, like, going to the thing and having a murder mystery? I mean, she throws a good party.
Oh, gosh, do you know how frustrating it was to me to watch her try and, like, set up this murder mystery? And everyone else is just like out there doing drugs and laughing and not paying attention whatsoever. It is so demoralizing to try and set up like a big group activity and then they just don't seem to care. Okay. That is so frustrating. And I felt for her so much in that moment because that it's the worst thing ever when you're so passionate and excited about something. And then other people are just like, whatever. We're going to like ruin this. It was so annoying.
I have been that person with all the planning and all this stuff, and then it's like, hey, everybody,
work so hard
on this thing, and they're like, well, meh.
She was even committing to it. She like had them drag her in, even though the freaking guy like messed up the lines or whatever. I don't know how you met. There's not very hard lines, buddy. Also, apparently, they do the murder mystery every year. I don't know.
But I would go.
Same people. I would still, I would definitely go, but not with those.
Not with those people.
Yeah, we don't want them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Speaking of those people, what do we think of this person, Reese? Oh, okay, so Reese is apparently an author and also a killer. He was introduced to JJ as basically like saying like, hey, I wrote this memoir. JJ is really impressed by it. But then like the whole thesis of that is like, you have to face your past to really grow and all this stuff. So I don't know if he's like trying to make JJ do that. There's also the theory of like, Joe and Reese are the same person. We got a little Jekyll and Hyde type of situation going on, which can absolutely, you know, happen in real life. When there's a traumatic event, you know, there can be splits of motives there. So what are you thinking about the whole Reese situation?
Okay. We did not get as much Reese in the first half as I would have liked, considering they told us he was the killer at the end of the first part. That is like my chief complaint of the situation. I was like, in retrospect, I'm fine with him being the one. I just wish that we would have maybe gotten anything else from him outside of like the small few interactions we had. So to the elephant in the room of, is Joe two people? Is Joe Reese? Yeah. Are they whatever? I've seen this a lot. That was easily the most popular like theory of what could happen. And the thing I like always have to go back to when I'm thinking about predictions for like future episodes is, would the writers of the show feel like this is a satisfying ending to the fans of the show? That's like always the number one thing I go back to. Not like, would it actually be, not like what makes sense for the story, but do they think that we would think it's good? It's a good twist. That is the only thing I think that matters here. And I kind of do.
Oh, you're in on it.
I kind of do think it's interesting. There's like a couple of, you know, specifics of like, okay, no one else had actually been in the room whenever Joe and Reese had been talking. Like that is kind of intriguing. Besides like the, you know, even when they were locked up at the end with Joe and Rold, they were, whatever, Rold was still sleeping or unconscious or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think it could be really interesting. And I think that, another one of the issues that people have been having with the first part of the season is that they don't really care about a redemption arc for Joe. We've seen that quite a bit. They just don't really care. And I cannot blame them for that. He's a serial killer, whatever. I like it. If you don't care about that, fine. If he were the killer, wouldn't really need a redemption arc. This would just be classic you, where Joe's going around killing people left and right. And I would kind of be here for it because we only saw him kill one person. Right in the first five episodes.
Yeah.
We gotta up the kill count for Joe here. And it, like, maybe it was max four if he killed the other three that died.
Well, he only had two kills last season in season three. Like,
But there were only like four people in the cast.
Yeah, this is true. Percentage wise, yeah, he had a 50% kill rate. I think there is some merit to this theory. I think the whole him, when it really stuck out to me was when they were locked up in the dungeon, you know, man with the iron mask room, mainly because he like goes, but where does he go? Like Reese is like, bye, I'll be back. And then he like comes back at a very weird time, like when JJ has like reawakened himself and like got himself trying to get himself free. So there are a lot of questions around this.
Do you think it's just him? Like, I feel like no one actually thinks that it's just like, Reese is the guy. That's it. That's the season. We're going to see in part two how Joe takes him down.
I had a question of like, is this Joe's book?
Oh.
are these all these characters like just, you know, people that he's writing? Like, I don't know. Like, I could see any one of these people really being, except for maybe Blessing and Sophie, being killers.
Right, and he is the writer. That was like their first interaction, right? Yeah. of talking about the book. And I do believe, I didn't see this personally, but I do believe that in the trailer for part two, that the book that Love is reading in the cage is Reese's book. So
yeah, and
I don't know,
like when I first saw the title of that book, I was like, Joe could totally write that book because like so straight up his alley. So you know,
is Joe running
for
mayor of London?
What is that about? Can we just for a minute? Why is he running for mayor of London?
I don't know. My understanding is that it takes very little competency to be the mayor of a large city. That is my, just based on all of my history of understanding mayors, it does not take a lot.
Just another plug for Chicago. If you're in Chicago, please do vote. The mayoral election is going. But yeah, I don't know why he's running for mayor. I think he's an interesting character. If he's not, I could totally see him not being real. But the only other thing is like at one point we do get a reference from another character. I think it's from Simon. I don't think it's from like one of the people who are still alive, but it's just kind of like, oh, that's Reese. Like, it's not like a substance. Like, they're not talking to each other, but they know of this Reese person. So he's in their world. I just don't know in what capacity.
Yeah, I feel very confident that like he is not the end all be all of the one murdering everyone, because that would just be so boring.
Do you feel like, I mean, obviously he's suspicious, but do you like, if we were going to make a suspicious meter in terms of Roald, Adam, Lady Phoebe, and Reese, who do you put at the top of that?
I guess it depends what you mean by suspicious, because I simultaneously also very much believe that whatever iteration of Reese it is has killed someone and like is part of the evil thing. So like he's very suspicious in the sense that like whatever he is evil. I don't know exactly what that means, but I don't know. I think it's probably like Reese, Roald, Adam, Phoebe is like my four in order there.
That's how I would do it too. I think I just was like, they all have little tendencies, but how much of the pie are they holding? Well, speaking of someone who was also suspicious, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but Kate, you know, Kate is, for lack of a better term, it's so hot right now, a Nepo baby. They all are Nepo babies, but her father's like a huge, you know, really rich person, but she is like trying to not be that, at least in public, and have a different persona than her family and kind of distance herself from them. She is seen by JJ as someone who's actually having a job. Like when she's working in the art gallery, he says, you know, like she's the only one that wants to work. But she's also the ex-girlfriend, I guess, at this point, of Malcolm, who was here at the start of the
too soon, Marissa, too soon. Oh my goodness,
she got over it so fast. That's the other thing, like she just was like, I guess Malcolm's dead, moving on.
I think you know? They were pretty casual. No, like they were talking about that's true.
They were cash, but they were sharing a living space together, which JJ could see through the windows, which I still don't understand how Malcolm didn't know.
How expensive are blinds in England? Do we think that there's like a big blind tariff I don't know about?
The windows are huge.
Yeah, they are huge. They have big windows. I don't have big windows. We are
rich people.
True. So yeah,
they should be able to afford, or curtains.
Okay, so maybe it's not a financial issue.
Yeah, what are they trying to tell us with these open windows?
I don't know. Very alluring, and you know, clearly letting Joe have a sneak peek when he probably shouldn't.
Yeah. What are your takes on Kate so far?
Okay, I really like Kate, and I think that Kate breaks some of the stereotypes that we've seen from the previous three seasons, wherein Joe is kind of obsessed with a woman and that woman is not immediately fawning over him and falling into his lap, right? Like Kate is, hard to get is the wrong term, but like she's not just like putty in his hands to be melded however he wants. Like she's not so easily manipulated, which like maybe you could make the argument that like love was also doing the manipulation, whatever. I don't know. Maybe you could make the argument at the end of the season that like Kate actually was being manipulated. I don't know. But as of where we stand now, she just wasn't like immediately like, yeah, okay, let's start getting together and make this super easy. She was like giving it back to Joe. And I really, really liked that, because I think that like no one had done that before. It was so easy for him to get with Beck. It was so easy for him to get with Love. It was way too easy for him to get with Marianne. And, you know, I guess we didn't see how he and Candace started, but I don't remember him saying it was like difficult or anything like that. So we finally see someone who like has a little bit of a backbone and a little bit more agency. I also think that her character is more complex than basically everyone else that has been the titular you the past couple of seasons. And I mean that in like the best possible way, because again, I like really love this show and have loved like the vast majority of the characters, but like they were pretty like simple, is again like the wrong word, but like we could understand them pretty easily and not a lot of time. And certainly some of that could be to the nature of there's less people in the cast, easier storytelling. I don't know, it was a new kind of concept and we had to learn from the base, as opposed to now where we're trying to adapt the past three seasons to what we're seeing in season four. Probably a lot of reasons for it, but I still think that Kate brings something really interesting and really new to the show that was much needed. And so like I was like super in on her being the you because I don't know, every part about her was just so intriguing and so interesting. She was like obviously rich from the start, and mm-hmm. I think that like we knew that more than like Joe knew that, obviously, and so like that reveal is certainly bigger to him than it was for us, but like mm-hmm. I don't know. I will also say Kate killed somebody. I don't know who. I have no. I could I
what
tell
do you think
who
her method is? What do you think her method is? Is
I mean,
is she a poisoner? Is she a stabber?
We basically only have three stabbings. What do we have? Mm-hmm. Three stabbings plus Joe also kind of stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have four stabbings.
So that's you think she's a stabber?
I mean, somebody's got to be. I don't know when they like. There was so much blood on the ground of that carpet.
There was
like more blood than there would have been if it was not like murder of passion of some kind or like anger or hatred or whatever. I think it's very likely that Kate killed Gemma. Like ooh. Very, very likely.
Kate is working with Reese.
Maybe
if Reese is his own
would that feel good though? Like would person? That feel good at the end of the season? I don't think it would.
I don't think it would. But what are Kate's motives in the situation then?
I think she just like hated Gemma, right? Like we had seen so many.
Oh, so it was like a singular kill in this. Like it was not connected to the other kills, but it just fits within.
Well, a singular kill that like exactly it fits within like the eat the rich of it all, right? Yeah, like getting a kill there is almost easier because it's like a very simple. Oh, it's just the eat the rich killer again.
It's like a side quest in the same.
Yeah. Do you think Kate's bad? Like, is Kate killing people in part two? You think?
I don't know. I don't know. I could see her being a killer, but I also could see her being like making people's lives difficult with bureaucracy or like resources in some way.
She was big on sicking the police onto Joe. Yeah. Big on that.
Yeah. Like I could just see her like managing resources in a way that can make someone's life miserable. I don't know. You know, we had that whole random storyline of Simon stealing someone's art. And, so like what was Kate's involvement in that? Did she know about that? You know, all of that situation? Well,
that's also like another interesting thing, because I feel like there's a lot of kind of loose threads to that end, right? We have like that, but that was also involved in Malcolm's journal of like all of the different, the different kind of code names he was using there, where we also get the random Louis XIV Sun King reference. And it's just out of nowhere. Like there's a lot of things that it's just like, what? Also, we can't forget that like Malcolm and Nadia were sleeping together and there was like a relationship there.
And Kate knew about it.
And Kate knew about it. Absolutely. Yeah. There were way too many letters in that secret stash that Joe took from Malcolm's place. Like way too many letters. Like that is not what we wanted to see.
So I wonder if like Kate is representing, if we have the three motives of revenge, sex, and money. Kate's definitely, I think, in the sex bucket because she's got all of the Malcolm-ness to deal with. And then we said that Roald is revenge from everything that's going on with Kate. Would you put anyone in the money thing at this point? The only person I can see is Adam.
Oh, the person I would say is in the money category would probably be Reese to some extent.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
He was the one that, kind of had those humble beginnings and has been almost telling the story of the Eat the Rich killer, right? Like we see him on TV talking about it. Obviously, like maybe he is that person. So, maybe it's just the narrative he's trying to tell about himself. But I definitely could see him under that category. The other person maybe in that boat is Nadia. We don't really get a ton about her from that, but like,
let's talk about her.
Maybe.
Yeah. So Nadia is a student. Student still cannot believe that JJ is a professor.
I loved that though. Did you? I mean, oh my gosh,
it was so good. It was
the
good.
Opening was so fun. I was like, Loki, I would have loved having Joe as a professor in college. Like that actually would have been awesome. I mean, it would have actually been terrible, but whatever. Like
it would have been fun because in the class, he would know. Really he knows that he can't get caught, and like. But he also needs, it's like his little safety spot at the same time. So you probably get away with some stuff in that class.
Probably too much.
But she's really into murder mysteries, knows her, Agatha Christie. She seems to be a student of literature and Russian and a bunch of other things. She's got a bunch of other jobs. She's very famously says that sleep is for the rich. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's got maybe a little bit motive here. She, as we mentioned, she did have a relationship with Malcolm, who was a professor also at this university. So Nadia. You don't have to, you know, you got your own worth. And then that, you know, she's around for the first part, not as much as I initially thought she would be.
Yeah.
Which I believe is setting us up for more involvement in part two. At least I hope, but that's what we got on Nadia. What were your takes on her in the first part of the season?
Yeah. I'm very hopeful that we get a lot more of her in part two now that we're back in London and not out in, you know, in whatever it's called, Downton Abbey, is that what you call it? now that we're not way out there. I thought Nadia was really interesting. I liked seeing that kind of student dynamic. I think that the show is better when there are young people kind of involved and in the mix. I'm like thinking back to, you know, Paco, to Ellie, mm-hmm. to those kind of folks. And I think that like that is really interesting. Nadia is not necessarily the type of role that we've had in previous seasons, because like she hasn't been super involved, but also if you think about it, she's been very involved. And I think like I go back to her recommending Reese's book at the very beginning of the season. I think of her relationship with Malcolm, and I think like she makes me think about the people that the Eat the Rich killer has killed, and like maybe thinking about why each of them were dying. Right. And I like specifically think of Malcolm because, you know, whatever, he's having a relationship with this student and many, many other students that could certainly piss somebody off. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Simon and stealing the art from Blue. What her name was. And even Gemma, who was like the scum of the earth and treated everyone absolutely horribly and was the absolute worst. And so it's like I think that like something that has gone maybe a little bit under the radar somehow is that like out of the group, I think that the three worst people have been killed thus far. And I don't, you know, I don't know that like that is my place to say this person is worse than this other person, but it's media. This is a TV show. It's not real. I'm not actually saying anyone should die.
This is what we're here for.
I don't know. I feel like Nadia really analyzes things and is like always telling us, okay, it's this, this, and this. This is how mystery works. I'm very like literate. I understand. I'm very well read. And I think like she brings this aura of logic into the situation that is like making me try and think about, okay, why are these people actually dying versus like who is actually killing them? Because I think that like those are not necessarily intrinsically linked in the show. I don't know. I really like Nadia. I thought she was really, really fun and interesting every time she was on screen. I've also seen a lot of theories that Nadia and Reese are working together.
Yeah.
I'm a little out on that, I think, just because, like, why?
I mean, you know? the largest connection, I think, is that she had his book and was like, here, read this book about this person that's almost exactly like you, you know? And I just wonder, you know, if she was over at Malcolm's, could she see into Joe's apartment? Is she, like, a Joe for Joe? You know, like I don't know. She, you know, she says she's got a lot of jobs. She's really busy. She's not, you know, really sleeping or doing anything. So maybe she is in the middle of all of this. You make a really good point there.
Yeah, she was in a couple places that were maybe a little convenient. Various break-ins and, you know, whatever. Go get this letter for me, Joe. Or
yeah,
you know, there's a couple times where she just like happened to be around where I was like, that's interesting.
Well, last but not least, let's talk about Joe, Jonathan, JJ. What do you think of season four, Joe, JJ?
I will just say first and foremost, I hate with a burning passion, with a fiery flames on the side of my face, heaving breathless. I hate the beard, Marissa. I hate the beard. I can't do it.
Oh, is it too much with the hair?
It's too much. It's way too much. He looks like a gorilla. I just can't do it. It looks so bad, and it's, oh my god.
I think, like, there's like so much happening because then he's also like wearing velvet all of the time.
Yeah.
So there's just like a lot of texture happening.
Choices are wild, like truly, truly wild, and I am not here for it. It makes it creeps me out whenever I see it. Like, it makes me like him so much less than I have in previous seasons.
If we are going with the Joe Reese theory, do you think that his hair is super long to be like completely different than Reese, to like compare and contrast that situation more? Contrast. Okay.
I think I like the idea of it being a fake beard that he takes off every time he assumes the position of Reese and kills someone and then puts it back on. Oh, that wasn't me. I'm sorry.
That it could wasn't happen.
Me. Yeah.
You're good at that. That's a good one. I can't do that.
I don't know. I thought like his role was very interesting. I think that there were a few things that like really didn't work for me of the Joe of it all. But like the things that did, I thought worked really well. And so... I don't know. I really enjoyed all of his interactions in with the dinner party, with the murder mystery party up in whatever Camp Castle up there. Like, yeah. I did enjoy a lot of that. I loved the professor stuff. I just really, really loved it. And then I think that there was like a little bit of intrinsic humor to this season that maybe like wasn't as there in previous seasons. I'm thinking of like when he's just waking up in the morning with a cup of coffee and just casually looks over to his table and sees the dead body. And like, I don't know, like there are a few things that he's just like a little bit funnier than there was in previous seasons. And I don't know if like that is maybe causing some of the frustration around like the way they're telling this story. But I think that that does add at least a little bit for me. I'm just very interested to see how much more Joe we have in this show. He'll definitely be around here until the end of the show, right? Like, there's no way they're gonna like do this show without Joe. I'm rhyming way too much here. I don't know. I think that like part two will be very interesting to see how they land this plane, because I think that a lot of the characters have pretty easy outs, whether it be like this character is going to die, this character is going to be a murderer, this character is going to be involved with this character. I can like see a lot of paths for them in terms of like the side characters. I don't know that I see a ton of paths for Joe where he like comes out of this in a way where I'm like, heck yeah, give me season 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like it has to get tied back to Henry 40.
Yes.
In some way. so that he can get back to him. That, I think, is his motive in general. His choice to not kill Marianne was interesting. She is out there somewhere, so that's like a danger to him.
Or is she?
What are your thoughts?
I think Marianne could be dead for sure.
You think he did it? Do you think he killed her?
I mean, I think that it's very likely that Marianne is dead.
Well, I did not think about this.
Yeah.
Well, that would make sense. He didn't seem too worried, like that.
He's not a reliable narrator, right? Like I said this at the beginning. He says so many times, like, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. You know, he like forgets all kinds of stuff. And yeah, we can blame it on absinthe. Who can't blame a forgetful night on absinthe, right? Whatever. But I could definitely see Marianne being dead here. I don't know how likely it is, but like, I think that would be. Okay,
that would be fun.
Imagine imagine we like end this season where like we get all of these flashbacks to Joe murdering basically everybody, and then oops, we also flashback to him killing Marianne, to whatever his stupid name was when we the guy who came in from
Elliot
last week, Elliot. Why is Elliot even okay, what a dumb
Yeah, I could see that. And then him really having to take stock of himself and if he's going to make himself into the father that he never had.
Is he going to go back to Henry Forty?
Yeah, and how is he going to be?
I had totally forgotten that his middle name was 40. Like that had, I don't know why I had blacked out of my brain, but like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
He's reincarnated. Okay, Adam.
You know what? I'll take rolled over 40 in terms of names every day of the week. Because I don't actually think 40 is a real name. So. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, no, I think the end for Joe is, you know, can he leave this life behind and become, you know, the father that Henry 40 needs? And I know the show creators said they always had like a 5-season arc for it. So in terms of how much we've got left, we've got a season and a half. If they renew, that's another question. There hasn't been any announcements as to whether they'll renew for season 5. Maybe Netflix, if you didn't split the season, you'd have a better idea.
Maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Again, not on the blame Netflix, but yeah. So that's our little rundown of the cast members. Do you have any other predictions outside of this? Like, so some questions I have are like,
yes,
what episode will we see the cage come back? We have not seen the cage thus
far. Are we confident that the cage is coming back?
Or is the cage a figment of the imagination?
So my thought, I have two thoughts here. My number one thought is that it's already back in some capacity.
Do you think he's in the cage?
Either he's in the cage, Marianne's in the cage. I don't know. Maybe someone else has the cage. But then the other thought that I had, and I only had this because I like did a full rewatch of the first 3 seasons before I started season 4.
Yeah.
The cage like turned into a big thing with Sherry and what's his face, right? Like it was a big book and they were like out there doing stuff. And not that like... I feel like it does become like more popular and more people have a cage at that point. So I think that it's very likely that someone else will have the cage, but also I feel like that kind of gives him away if like anyone else sees that, because it's like, oh, wait a minute. There's this guy with a cage. It's actually Joe. But I do think there will be a cage, obviously in some capacity, because you know, in the preview, we do see Love reading in the cage. So
yeah. I mean, who is Joe without the cage?
Who is Joe without the cage?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the question we're trying to answer. I think it will not be in the first episode back, but maybe in the penultimate episode of the season.
Penultimate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is when it will be. Because I just, it,
do you need the cage? You need the cage.
I don't need the cage, but who is Joe without the cage?
Who like, are we without the cage? Maybe we need the cage.
Did you see that Drew Barrymore thing? Like she, for her birthday, they put her in the U cage.
Oh no.
And she loved it. Like it was like such this weird thing. And then Penn shows up and he's like, you are not supposed to want this. Like this. So it is like,
okay.
The reason for the cage, I think, is it poses that question. Like, why do we need the cage? So it'll be interesting to see how it shows up or if it shows up.
And I just remember the previous 2 seasons, the cage did not show up until decent ways into the season. It didn't take a terribly long time, but even like last season, it didn't show up until after they had already bought the bakery and put it downstairs. And then there was the big reveal of going to the storage unit in, what was it, episode 1 or episode 2 of, I guess it was pretty early on of season 2, and finding actual Will Bettelheim in there. Poor guy. Is Will Bettelheim involved? Is he secretly is he in love?
I really want like Will to be involved in some way and just be like, yeah, I'm living my life in the Philippines. You're still up to this, Joe? Like, yeah. What's wrong with you?
Still doing this? Like,
I thought we dropped that.
Can we bring everyone back at the end of season 5? Just perfect. Everyone. Give me Will Bettelheim. Yeah, give me like Love's mother. Like, I mean, let's go. I forget
she
the
guy. Her gorditas.
Yeah, she wants her gorditas. The guy who was like helping run the bookstore in season 1. Mm-hmm. I forget her name as well, who was in the writing. Like, give me everyone back at the end of season 5. That's what I want, a full reunion. I don't think it's going to happen.
Make it happen, Netflix.
You know.
Well, we did talk a little bit about how we think Marianne, or how you specifically think Marianne could show up or not show up. Do you think we will see Marianne?
I think we have to in some capacity, even if it is just a brief flash at the very end of the season to preview what season 5 might be. I think it would just feel so bad if we did not get any more of Marianne than what we had previously seen, because we haven't gotten a ton. It was just like the couple little flashbacks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could easily see season 5 happening in Paris and we're going to see Marianne. Ooh. I don't know. Or my other theory, Marianne's already dead or will be dead by the end of the season.
What if Marianne turns into a killer because she has to protect herself from Joe?
Maybe protect her son.
Well, yeah, it's the thing.
I don't know.
And then I think this is the biggest question that like every you watcher is asking. Like there are people that think that Love is alive. And I don't know how that can be, because one, what we see of her in the trailer for part 2 is in that muted tone, which we know from the show is like flashbacky. She's in the cage. So maybe the cage is Joe's mind palace in this situation and he has to go talk to Love in that way. But I don't know how she gets out of a burning house after being basically lethally poisoned with hemlock. So, or Wolfsbane. because they wolf each other. So they hurt each other with wolfsbane. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so what's your take? Do you see love being alive?
I feel like it would feel bad at the end if love came back and it was just like, oops, she's been around the whole time or been doing something. The only way I could see this making any kind of sense if that flashback that you're talking about is still in London and love has made her way there and she is somehow a part of this situation somehow. Because I do think that if Joe finds out that love is alive, Joe is going to try and kill her to some extent because of the Henry 40 of it all. I don't think so. I don't think love is alive. I don't think I'm buying that theory. There's too many other characters. I feel like it would be too big of a lift in the last five episodes to tie up the cavalry of characters that we have had thus far and then reintroduce love back and make that all make sense and make it feel good. I just feel like it's too much. And I don't think that I just don't think the show is going to go that route. They haven't gone that kind of route in the past. I don't know.
I get the sentiment love is loved, people love love. But I think if love comes back, then the show becomes about love and it isn't so much about Joe anymore, because you want to make her alive and have her own spinoff, go for it. She's a very entertaining character to watch, brilliantly portrayed. I could definitely go for some more love, but not after how things ended in season 3. It's great that she's able to come back. I love how basically all of the Yus have been able to come back in some sort of, mind daydreamy capacity. And that's kind of what I see coming here. Although, stranger things have happened. If anything, if love is alive and the cage is there and Marianne is still alive, I think love put Marianne in the cage.
I'm down.
I think.
Okay.
Because she's still so super pissed about the whole Joe Marianne of it all, even though she gave it away. I don't know. She's like, you went all the way to Europe for this girl. Well, I'll show you. I'm going to build a cage that you taught me how to build, and I'm going to put this girl in it. So I don't know if that is, that's a very big stretch, but that's what
it would be. It would be a really big situation.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a world where love kills Joe at the end of season 4 and it's about love in season 5, but I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. Any other predictions on the table before we make some death drafts?
I think we hit the big ones. I think we've got some good predictions out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. It'll be fun to see what comes of it. All right, so we are going to go to the good old Google. They have a dice roller on Google. We're going to roll a d20 to see who will pick first. So I'm going to hit roll in 3, 2, 1, roll. Oh.
14.
Yeah, you're going to go first. I got a 3. So we can do, I think, it's snake draft, right? You'll do 2, and then I'll do 1, and then we'll get to the end eventually.
Okay.
So these are people that you think are going to definitely die.
Yes.
In season 4, part 2 of you.
Okay. I think number one, I have to take Kate.
Ooh.
I think we've seen too many of the Yus die in previous seasons. And I don't know the full story here, but I think the Kate is not long for this world.
Do you think, based on your predictions, that we will find out that Kate was a killer before or after she died in the situation?
I think after.
Interesting. Who's your second pick?
I think you get 2 picks now. No?
Oh, I get 2 picks. Okay. I never know how this works. I am going to choose, only based on historical precedents and if we are prescribing the same type of character to this character archetype to this character, I am going to pick Nadia in this situation.
Oh, interesting.
Because, Paco didn't die, but I just feel like that's getting old.
Yeah.
And so it might be a thing. So I'm going to take Nadia.
Okay.
And then after, I'm going to take, because I think he just has to die. I mean, he's just that annoying. I'm going to take Rold.
Yep, that's a great pick. Rold would have been my second pick. I think that the comparison to Peach and even to 40, I think is so valid for Rold, and they're both dead. So I think that Rold is an excellent second pick there.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see here. We still have some pretty good options on the table. I don't think I could justify picking Blessing or Sophie because I literally could not have told you their names before this started. So, you know, there's that. I think that if I'm looking at the rest of these, I think Reese is pretty likely to die here.
If he's real, or like, do you think he'll die in?
Yeah, see, this time? Is yeah. There's got to be an asterisk here, right? Of just like, what is Reese? If Reese is just a figment of Joe's imagination, then like, okay.
Well, then, he dies. I'll count it. We'll count it.
But I mean, the whole trailer for part two here is like, I'm coming. I'm sorry. I'm coming for you, Reese. Like, really? You know, that's like how we get there.
In my ears.
So I think that it's pretty likely that Reese goes here. Plus, I think it would be pretty interesting if, like, Joe had to deal with the fallout of this and, like, not being able to actually frame it on him. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. For the third pick that I have here.
Yes.
My goodness. I'm torn between two. And I think just for the namesake of it all, I'm going to pick Adam. I think Adam is gone. Dunzo.
Oh. Do you think he's done by his own accord? Do you think he's done by the killer? Do you think he's done in like a messy way?
I think it'll be messy. I think it'll be something involving Phoebe. I don't exactly, don't know exactly what, but I think that's certainly something involving Phoebe. And I think it'll happen decently soon into the second set of episodes.
Interesting. I'm just marking off who we've already chosen on our little list here. Ooh. Yeah. I'm going to take Lady Phoebe.
Yep.
That's who it's going to be. I think it will be an accidental death, but I think she will die. I don't know if we get double points if we call the shot.
This is clue style. If we name the place and the weapon, that's how we get our extra points.
And then I will go with, I think we only have...
I would accept outside the box answers too. If you're like, looking
who
for
who else haven't we?
You could do a Love again. You could take Marianne. You could take Elliot. Oh. Take an Ellie. Take a Paco. Take a Will Bettelheim.
Not Ellie. Let's go with out of these. I think Sophie. I'll take Sophie.
Okay, and I feel like I have to do a big finale here. For our final pick of this death draft.
Well, yeah.
All right, Marissa.
Ready.
Give me Joe! Give me Joe!
Okay. All right, you didn't want to take Marianne?
No.
You called Marianne, though.
I know, I did. But you know why, Marissa? Because if she ends up dead, I can still consider myself right.
Yeah, you did. You called it. I'll give it to you. Because I can add another. You can get Marianne and all.
Okay, add her out. I'll take Marianne too.
we can keep
anyone
going.
Else we want to die here. We've named like the whole cast.
I mean, I think. How do we feel about Elliot? Do you think Elliot's alive?
I don't think Elliot's coming back.
I don't think he is either. He lost his phone.
He lost his phone. Like, yeah. He wants to get over this life. He was done.
We already had like that one security dude die. Do we think like Adam's dad or anything Adam related? Well, I think this is a good list.
Yeah, I think we're really solid here. So it's just purely who predicts who more people die.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll be sure to keep the listeners updated, but I will also update the Patreon Discord with the score along the way.
I feel good here. I feel really good. I think that like between the two of us, one of us is going to score at least three. I don't know, you know, what that will look like, but I think one of us is going to score three.
I feel
three
though,
here.
Like, yeah.
If I love the role pick. I almost took Rold first because, like, I feel like he dies every time in this show.
I feel like taking Nadia first is because, like, Joe's got to outgrow that. I don't think that Joe's going to be the killer of Nadia. I think Nadia will get killed, but I don't know how. Anyway.
I would like to petition this to also be simultaneously, retroactively be a murderer draft.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. I was thinking about that. Like, killed or be killed.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So we get 1 point if they die and 1 point if they kill someone.
Same team? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Same. No, you can't change the teams. It's the same team.
Okay, same team. I'll take it. So 1 point for the character dying and 1 point for the character being a killer.
Maybe I'll take a half point for Joe because I feel like he's a given to kill somebody. I feel like that's guaranteed
points. I was almost going to double your points if he died, so I think it balances out.
Okay. Also, Marianne's not killing anyone, so maybe, okay, probably evens out.
Works out. Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Is there any you-ness left that you need to get out before part two comes to you?
I'm excited to see part two. I'm excited to kind of follow your incredible coverage here of Potion Recaps, to, you know, see what predictions we had that were right. More likely what predictions we had that were wrong, but whatever, it's fine. Well,
that's the fun
nature,
of it.
Nature of the beast. And then I'm very invested in this death kill draft. And you know, we'll see what happens here. I think we've got some good lists, good teams.
Posted. This is a fun show to do a death draft on.
Yeah, there's not a lot of shows you can do a death draft on.
Like Walking Dead was a good one. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again. And where can people tune in to hear you and your other fabulous takes on TV?
All over the place. You can find me on Twitter at PianoManAdam1. You can also find me talking about Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist week after week. We're halfway done with season one of that 2-season show, so it's kind of wild like how quickly we're flying through that. But that's so fun. That's over on 1CXG Podcast on Twitter. You can go find that there. Also, Who A Doctor Who Podcast.
Ooh.
With myself, Kevin Mahadeo, and Melissa Woodward, we have been on the Patreon feed for the longest time for the past 3 seasons. No more! You can find us on the main feed, so go over there, take a look at that. We're talking about Doctor Who as we get into the 4th series. A ton of fun over there. Also, with the incredible Sarah Ferguson talking about How I Met Your Father, season 2. So that's coming out, 20 episodes over there. Sarah and I are getting together every other week. And last episode, we recorded in person
when
we were together.
Oh my gosh.
And it was very fun.
That's magic. Yeah.
It was very, very fun. We got to do some things that just like never would have been able to happen if we were not together in person. So that was just a ton of fun. So go check me out there. I'm all over the place, very accessible. And of course, also on the PSR Discord. Come say hi. I want to hear your death draft. If you could pick any 5, who are you picking? What's your list?
Do you think, because, you know, over on 6G Podcast, you wouldn't, you know, cover musical television.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a musical episode?
Do I see the musical happening? I mean, maybe. I mean, probably not on this show, but I mean, there's some vibes of like other musicals. kind of. I mean, there's a lot of murder musicals. So,
like,
you know,
very Sweeney Todd.
Some Sweeney Todd, exactly. You know. I could see it. Maybe next time, if I come back on, I'll have a song prepared for a musical about you.
That's a good one. Yeah. Well, thanks again for joining us. Be sure to check out Adam everywhere else. He is covering a lot of things and has a lot of great commentary on it. So thanks again for coming and joining us here. As for myself, I am talking about show called Daisy Jones and the Six, which is kicking off this weekend with the aforementioned Sarah Ferguson. That is a show that is on Amazon Prime, covering the well-beloved book of the same name. So we will be covering those shows as they come out throughout the month of March. And then I'm also covering a show called Dear Edward with Jason Reed. That is over on Apple TV. It is a exploration of grief through the eyes of a child. So if that sounds like fun, join us over there. But the podcast is a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun talking about it. And that comes out once a week as well. I was also recently on the PSR RPG show, which covered a D&D set adventure in the environment, the world of Willow. So if you haven't watched Willow, please do. And then if you have and are interested in that, you can find that on Potion Recaps as well. Outside of that, if I'm up to anything fun and exciting, I will be sure to tell you on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars. And that's about it. please do consider supporting our work by becoming a patron member. You can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps or postshowrecaps.patreon. And when you join us at any level, you'll get access to the Discord. So if you want to see Adam and I continue to have conversations about this dust draft, that's pretty much where it's going to be, because we will probably check in with each other along the way. And you know, your support does mean a lot to us. So again, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Other than that, we'll see you later.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.